and said they can't hear me. I can hear. Can you hear me good? All right. How's everyone doing tonight? Doing good. All right. It's been a few years since I taught this class, and actually last time I taught this class, the podium was about where John Rowe was sitting. So it's very impressive that we're able to fill up the auditorium here on Wednesday. Anyway, tonight we are continuing our series dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about love, we've talked about joy, we've talked about peace, and tonight we're going to talk about patience. Now, if I had to guess, this is one of those topics that everyone here has probably already mastered pretty well, right? Patience is one of those things that I think we continually need to work on. It's something we all struggle with in some form or another. I think a reason for that is we live in a really fast-paced world. Things move really quickly these days. We live in a world where if you're on time, you're late, and if you're early, then you're probably still late. We live in a world where if a website doesn't load in 2 seconds, we just lose our minds. That's what I do anyways. And I was reading the other day about Amazon.com actually is in the process of developing drones that are going to deliver the things that you order within 24 hours. It's going to drop them on your doorstep. Now, what's the reason for that? Well, 3 to 5 business days no longer cuts it. We want it now. We need things immediately. And that's the age that we live in. So we live in a world that's full of impatience. And so how do we practice patience in a world that's just full of impatience? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I actually chose this topic specifically when Cleo came to me. He had a couple options listed, and I chose patience because I feel like it's something I need to work on. And for those of you who don't know, I just graduated from law school. And I'll tell you, the one thing I learned from going to law school is that if you really want to learn something, you want to become knowledgeable about something, the absolute best way to do that is to put yourself in a position where you're going to be talking in front of a large group of people, because the fear of looking like you have no idea what you're talking about is a wonderful motivator. Keep that in your head. It's a good technique. So now we're talking about patience and dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. I'll tell you, when I was younger, I had this idea of what the fruit of the Spirit was. I'm a very visual person, so I like to picture things when I hear something or when I read something. So when I was younger, I had this idea of what the fruit of the Spirit meant, and this picture that I had was, we all carry around this basket. And fruit of the Spirit, all these different things listed were these different pieces of fruit. And it was our job as Christians to go and collect as many of these pieces of fruit as we could. So love was an apple, and joy was a banana, and so on and so forth. And so, it was our goal. We wanted to collect all these things so we could make the best Christian fruit salad we could possibly imagine. But as I've matured and as I've grown, I don't necessarily think that that's what fruit of the Spirit is, and just reference for in Galatians 5. I don't think that's what he's talking about, the writer's talking about. I think more what he's talking about is we're all individual pieces of fruit. And these characteristics that are listed, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on, these are all characteristics of what this piece of fruit that we're supposed to be is supposed to look like. So if we're just going to compare it to an apple, maybe love is the round shape. And patience maybe is the juiciness. Love is the texture, so on and so forth. So all these things work together to form this Christian that God wants us to be. Because what happens when you pick up an apple, take a bite out of it, and it's not juicy? You're going to throw it away. It might look right, it might be the right color, the right size, the right shape, but it's a bad apple. It's one of those things that's missing. So I think going forward throughout tonight's lesson and throughout the series, I think it's important for us to keep in mind that all of these things work together. They're not independent of one another. You can't just pick and choose the things that we want to be. We've got to focus on all of these and really work towards pursuing a mastery of all of these topics. But now we're talking about patience. So when I say patience, what comes to mind? What do we think patience is? That's being patient. No, you know, we're being patient with God. Job. Yeah, we think of Job a lot when we think of patience. Willingness to wait. Waiting is a big part of patience. The thing about waiting, though, is you can wait impatiently. You can wait patiently. The thought about waiting in my mind is waiting, you're going to do it no matter what. If I'm being impatient about Christmas getting here, I'm really excited. It's the same amount of time that's going to pass whether we're patient or impatient. So it's deciding how we want to handle that. the tolerance is similar. Yeah, he said tolerate the anxieties and frustrations that we have to deal with. God is very patient. Forbearance, that's another word for it. Yeah, it's all these things. I think all of those were good. When I think of patience, to me, patience is a time-based attribute. You know, we've talked about love and joy and peace. I feel like you can kind of lump those all together into this particular category of things that we're supposed to cultivate within ourselves. But it's kind of things that we deal with internally and things that are constant. We're constantly supposed to be loving and constantly supposed to be peaceful. But patience has a time element to it, whether we're, you know, applying patience to a particular situation or not. You know, at the beginning, whatever situation you're going into, you either are going to apply patience or impatience, and there's a beginning. There's an end to that, whatever you're dealing with. Once it's accomplished, you no longer need that patience or impatience. And then there's this gap in the middle. And it's what we put into that gap that's going to determine whether or not we're patient or impatient people. You know, we all have a tendency to put in things like frustration and anger and these kinds of things. And if those are the things we're putting into that gap, we don't really have a choice but to be impatient. And so it's these kinds of things that we need to think about. Just to kind of give you an example, I told you I was a visual person. I like to think of patience being on a timeline or an outline. So I don't know about you guys, whenever I was younger, I had this idea or an outline of how I thought my life was going to go. I think we've all done this, set goals, certain goals or whatnot. And this is what my timeline looked like, I'll just tell you. I was about to turn 16, I was going to get my driver's license, I was going to get a car. 18, I was going to graduate from high school, I was going to go to college. Sophomore or junior, I wasn't picky about which one. I was going to meet the person I was going to marry. I was going to graduate at the top of my class. I was going to get married. Because I graduated at the top of my class, the job offers were just going to be lying down the street. I was actually going to have a more difficult time finding people who didn't want to hire me. That's how good it was going to be. So I was going to get that job, make tons of money. I was, have a couple of kids. At a certain age, I was going to be, you know, president, CEO, some youngest president, CEO ever. So on and so forth. And I know that's a bit grandiose, but I think we've all done something similar to that. But how many people who've done that, how many of your lives actually turned out the way that you thought it was going to turn out? I don't see any. And what's the reason for that? Well, I think the reason is because we're not in control. We think we are going on a particular path, and we think we're in control, and then something happens, something intervenes, whether that be an event happened or somebody did something, and our life doesn't go in the direction. So when we're on this path of where we think we're going, then we start drifting in this other direction because of some event. And we can see that path that we were wanting to go on in the opposite direction is getting further and further away. And our immediate reaction is, well, we're going to become impatient because we don't know what's going to happen. We're out of control. I think we do the same type of timeline kind of deal in our everyday life. That was more of an example of, you know, a long-term deal. Situational patience, as I call it, things that happen just within your day. I have a tendency to become impatient when I go to a restaurant. Some of you, you know, maybe it's when you drive a car, or maybe it's with kids. But I have a certain expectation when I go to a restaurant of how I think the evening's going to go. And I'll just tell you how I think it should go. I walk up to the door, and I'm about to open up. I'm reaching for the handle to open the door, and somebody steps out and opens the door for me. I walk in, and the hostess is standing there behind the podium. almond butter. You order your food, and it just takes a long time for your food to come out. Food finally comes out, and they got the order wrong. So they got to send it back. So on and so forth. So all these things went wrong. Well, what happened? Well, when you go to a restaurant, you're not in control of the situation. You're just there to enjoy the food. And so somewhere along the lines, maybe it was because the restaurant was busy, so that's the reason. Or the waiter was having a bad day and was just kind of being slow. Or the chef and the waiter were miscommunicating about what my order was, so they got it wrong. And, you know, I think about situations like that, and I'm in no hurry. I have nowhere to be afterwards. I have nothing planned. But I'm impatient. For what? Because I'm no longer in control. And these are the kinds of things that we need to kind of examine within our lives and try to put in good things instead of this anger and frustration that leads to impatience. So what is patience? And we'll do a little quick word study of what patience actually means. The word patience actually comes from a Latin root word, which a lot of our English language does. And it's the word pati, P-A-T-I. And this is the word that means to endure or to suffer. To endure something with calmness or the ability to willingly accept or tolerate delay or hardship. All right, here's a little trivia question. What is the commonality between the word patient in the sense that we're talking about here and of somebody who is a patient that goes to the doctor's office? Well, my first guess, whenever I asked myself this question, was, well, the people that invented the words a long time ago, they knew that when you went to the doctor, you were going to have to wait a long time. So they just went ahead and called you a patient because you were going to have to be patient. But that's actually has nothing to do with it. It's actually all comes from that same root word that I was talking about, pati, meaning to endure or to suffer. So, you know, when we show patience, we're enduring or going through a suffering. And when you are a patient person, you are someone who suffers. So that's just the truth for you. Another word that we get from the same root word is the word passion. It comes from the same root word. So when you hear someone talk about the passion of the Christ, whether it be about the movie or about something referred to it as the last week or so of Jesus' life, it's more of a reference to suffering that he went through more than passion in the sense that we normally use that word passion. And in the New Testament, there are two different Greek words that are used or have been translated into patience. The first word is macrothumia, and this is the word that's used in Galatians chapter 5 where it's listed a lot in the fruit of the Spirit. And this word comes from two different Greek words, the first one being macro or macron. And this is a word that means long, distant time or space or large in view. We use the word macro being the opposite of micro. So macro management is a larger view of things, long or distant. And the second word in that word macro is the word thumos. And in this particular context, it means passion, rage, or the emotions of suffering. So if you put those two words together, what do you get? Long suffering. And if you're reading out of your King James, it's going to be translated long suffering because it's a little bit more of a literal translation. But this is the type of patience that we use in the Bible. It's talking about a patient, being patient with people, being patient with others, enduring that hardship for somebody else. And I think a good way to think of it is being the opposite of short-tempered. So having a long temper or a long fuse lasting a long time before you decide to blow up. That's kind of the idea behind it. The second word that's used in the New Testament that has been translated into patience is hupomone. I think I got that right. And it's also split between two Greek words. The first one being hypo, which is under, or meno, which means to remain or endure. So it's this idea of endurance or steadfastness. It's a patience. Kind of within the situation that you're in, dealing with the hardships of life. And that's more of what it refers to. So I think if we're really going to understand how to be patient within our lives, we've got to look at what the purest form of patience is, and that's the patience that God has shown us, as well as the patience that God has instructed us to abide by. I'm going to run through a couple verses kind of quickly here, just to kind of get you go on the direction we need to go. Exodus 34. Moses is up on the mountain for the second time. He already dropped the tablets once, so he's up there for a second time. And it says that the Lord passed by him, and the Lord said, 1 Corinthians 13:4 says that patience is a characteristic of love. And we know the verse, love is patient, love is kind. So I want to pull from other verses in a popular song we sing. If God is love, and love is patient, I'm not a math whiz, but I think that means that God is patient. Colossians 3:12 says that patience is something that has to be put on in a sense of clothing. And it's listed along with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says that we are urged to show patience towards all, to everybody, as a duty. Not just to the people we know, but even to strangers. And that includes your spouse and your children. It includes your friends. It includes that waiter. It includes that slow driver that won't get out of the way. It includes God. We're to be patient with everyone, to all people. And it says it's a duty of ours. It's not just something that we should think about. It's a duty of ours as Christians to practice patience. If you want to open your Bibles, I'm going to be in Jeremiah chapter 18 for just a few minutes. And this is a story in Jeremiah that I just think is a neat story. And I'll go ahead and start reading from verse 1. It says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. Just kind of aside, I like it in the Bible when God does this. I think it would be interesting. If I was Jeremiah's shoes and God came to me and said, hey, I have something to tell you, but I want you to go there, I'll tell you there. Talk about patience. I'd be like, come on, tell me now. I don't have to wait. Picking up in verse 3, it says, so I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred with his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this pot does, or as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. I can picture what's going on here. Jeremiah walking into this house, he sees this potter working with clay, and his immediate focus goes to this piece of marred clay. And, he's probably thinking in his head, well, this piece of clay is useless. This piece of clay is broken. It can't be used for anything. And God's telling him, you can look at this piece of clay and put whatever adjective you want on it, but none of that matters. What you see is completely irrelevant. The only important fact in this whole scenario is the fact that that piece of clay is still in the potter's hand. And I think whatever, whenever we're going through hard things in our life, we're looking this way and we see, well, this is going on. We look this way and this hardship's going on. And we're looking all around us and everything is just broken and falling apart and there's no way that it can be fixed. God is telling us, he's tapping us on the shoulders and saying, none of that matters. None of that matters. The only important fact in this whole scenario is that your life is in my hands. I have control of the situation and I can do with it whatever I please, whatever I see fit. And I think that's a hard lesson to learn. It sounds easy in theory, but I think it's a hard for us to really focus and understand that. But I think in doing so, we will be benefited greatly. I'm going to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and talk about this for a few minutes. This is Paul speaking. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 15 here. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. All right, I think this is Paul's way of saying, pull out your highlighters, it's important. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So he says, Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. Okay, so he's making reference back to his life. He tells us readers, we know what he's done in the past. He was a bad guy. He did a lot of things. He persecuted Christians, killed Christians, helped to kill Christians. And he knows that we know of that past. But he says, look at where I was then. Look at where I am now. And he says, why am I where I am now? And he's telling us that the reason that he's where he is now is because God was patient with him. He's been able to see God's patience firsthand in his own life. And it's interesting to see him talk about patience in this sense here. Whenever you can kind of cross-reference this with another verse such as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and tell that Peter was held captive in that. I don't necessarily believe that, but it gave me a good mental picture of what it might have been like to be in one of these prisons. And so when we got there, you know, it basically was a hole in the ground. The hole wasn't all that big. And you walk down this really steep staircase, and you get down there, and, you know, the roof probably came about right here, so I'm creeping around this thing. And you couldn't fit more than three people in there. The rocks were just really jagged. On the wall, the walls just made of rock, just like jagged rock. So when I think of people like Paul, when he's writing his letters from prison, I picture this hole in the ground. And I can imagine him maybe, you know, getting up close to the wall where the hole was, so maybe just the right amount of light would come in, and he would get his materials to write. He's probably starving. He probably has fresh wounds on his back from the beatings that he took that day. And he writes this. As a prisoner for the Lord, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now I read that, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me for somebody in his position to be saying, hey guys, I'm in prison, you're not in prison, but y'all need to be patient. It just kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I think that Paul in this scenario can be patient and tell others to be patient and feel comfortable doing that because of what we talked about in 1 Timothy. He's seen God's patience firsthand in his life. He saw it, he witnessed it. And because he understands God's patience and how it worked in his life, he's able to apply it in his own life and, you know, encourage others to apply it in their lives. And I think that's kind of the first step. If we want to become patient people, we have to truly understand what God's patience is. But without understanding what God's patience is, I don't think we can truly understand how to apply patience in our own lives. One other story out of the Bible that I want to make reference to is Luke chapter 15. We all know the story of the prodigal son. So, you know, the son decided, oh, I want to leave home. And, you know, he took his inheritance, he just left home. And went and squandered it, did all sorts of things that are just terrible. Came back, and what was the father doing? He was standing there with his arms wide open, waiting for his son to come home. Now, just picture for a second. Let's just mix up the facts of the story just a little bit. So let's say in our new scenario here that the son was a little bit more frugal with his money than the original story. Let's say he was able to make it last another year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. Would the ending of that story be any different? I'm convinced that the ending would be the exact same. The father was still in that same place, waiting patiently for his son. And God's patience is pretty incredible if you think about it. Every single person in the world, every single person here, from the day that you're born to the day that you die, God has an open invitation to each and every single person, inviting you to join him in heaven. Now, not everybody takes him up on that. But there's no hidden clause at the bottom of the contract saying, well, you got accepted by this day. Or if you don't do this, then it's revoked. No. Despite all the terrible things we do and all the sin we commit towards God, he's going to be there waiting patiently for us. And having an understanding of that is going to help us be patient with other people, in my mind. So we've talked about, you know, what patience is, where the word comes from. We've talked about how God's patient and the patience that God expects from us. But how do we develop this kind of patience in our own lives? I have a little excerpt I want to read. Excuse me? Well, maybe. I have one. Let's see. Okay, from this excerpt that was given to me for this topic. And we mentioned that part of patience is this idea of waiting. And it's not just waiting. As this writer puts it, it's creative waiting. I thought that was an interesting way to put it. But I'm going to go ahead and read what this says. It says, patience is the God-given power of creative waiting. This is far different from twiddling your thumbs and hoping that your life improves. Waiting is one thing, but creative waiting is quite another. Creative waiting is not merely putting up with bad situations, but is learning and growing from those situations. Sometimes, the only option we have is to wait. think that's what the verse is talking about. It's talking about, you know, if we can get to the point where we can intertwine our lives with what God wants, what God is doing, then those blessings that he refers to are going to come to us. And when those blessings come to us, we can truly practice patience in the way that he expects out of us. And that's what the writer is referring to here, is creative waiting, not just sitting back and waiting for things to come into our lives, but actually being proactive and trying to intertwine our lives with what God expects of us. One area of patience that in my life I've found to be a little bit difficult, and I think some of you could agree with this, and that's our prayer life. Patience is so crucial to have in our prayer life. I remember when I was in a junior high class here, and the teacher was making a joke. I'm sure you've all heard this joke, but it's the joke of, well, you better be careful about praying for patience, because you know what happens when you pray for patience, right? God doesn't just hand it over to you. He puts things in your life that make you work for it. And, you know, he'll put difficult things in your path so that you have to learn patience. And I remember being younger, and I remember actually doing this and praying and saying, God, please give me patience for this day. Because I didn't want to say it, because I didn't know what was going to happen. But we need God's help to be patient. And we need to ask him for it. I mentioned earlier that we live in a really fast-paced world. Things are moving so quickly. Technology is moving quicker than we're able to buy it. And it's interesting. We're always trying to invent new things that are going to make things quicker or save time. My wife and I like to watch the show Shark Tank. We watch that show. Anyways. So it's about these people who just invent things. And you know, you look at them and they might be the dumbest inventions you can imagine. But they're trying to save time in some form or another. Well, when we invent these new things and we save time here and we save time here and we save time here, what are we doing with all that save time? We're just throwing in more busy work. So we just get more and more busy as we go. And I mentioned just because technology is moving faster than we're able to purchase it. The iPhone 6 just came out, for those of you who keep up with these things. And I have in my pocket the iPhone 5. The iPhone 5 came out about 2 years ago, so my contract was out. I'm going to get this new iPhone. And the Apple marketing department is phenomenal at what they do. I can watch this commercial, and by the end of it, I can look at it and go, well, my phone doesn't. I really want my phone to do that. I need my phone to do that. And I convince myself that I need to get this new, bigger, faster, stronger, smarter phone. And so what do I do with the old phone? I throw it out. And we do this with all sorts of technology. If you go home tonight, you go boot up your computer and try to, you know, check your email, and your computer's moving a little bit slower than you want it to. The first thing that comes to your head, well, it might be time to get a new computer. We throw it out. We go get the new, bigger, better one. And that works for technology, but I think sometimes we have the tendency to do that with our prayer life. You know, we'll pray to God, we'll close our eyes, and we'll pray, God, help me with this, or God, help me with that. And then we open our eyes and look around, and the world looks the exact same as it did before you closed your eyes. And, you know, I talked about timelines earlier, and how we expect things to play out. Well, when we pray, we have this expectation that God is going to do things at a certain time. And when it doesn't happen that way, start to feel out of control, and maybe eventually it gets to the point where we're saying, well, this prayer thing's not working, let's move on to something else. Maybe throw more money at it, or throw more time at it, and that'll get it done. And I think we need to be careful of that, because that's not how prayer works. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, and some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting you to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I realize that this verse is not talking directly about prayer. But I think it's good to hear the Bible say things like God is not slow to keep his promises. We might think it's slow, but when we come to the realization that our timeline is not the most important thing in this world, God has this timeline that's a lot bigger and more complex than we can ever imagine. And we're just kind of fit into that. He has a plan for everybody. I was thinking about this earlier, thinking about how sometimes we don't get the prayers answered in the way that we want them to get answered. Have you ever thought about what if the struggles and the trials that you're going through are playing a role in answering somebody else's prayer? You ever thought about it that way? I've heard stories of people
salvation. And in the end, the nurse ends up converting and becoming baptized. Well, you know, in the interim, seeing that man's heart attack, obviously that's not a good situation. But in the long term, we've added somebody to the kingdom. So sometimes I think we need to consider that, you know, we're not the center of the universe. There's a lot of other things going on. God has a plan, and God's going to do it in a way that we might not understand. Because God doesn't operate under the logic of man. But, you know, just like the piece of clay we were talking about, it might look like it's broken and beaten down. But God has a plan, and we have to have faith in that plan, and we have to have patience for that plan to be carried out. Any comments or questions so far? I know I'm kind of running through this kind of quickly. I have one more little nugget that I want to get out, and then I'll be done. I talked earlier about patience being a time-based attribute. So we have this beginning, and we have an end. And in this middle, we're filling things in that middle, and it's what we put into that gap that's going to determine whether or not we're patient or impatient. You know, I mentioned that. We have a tendency to put in things like frustration and anger, and those are the things that we put in are the things that we're going to get out of it. Well, I think that God, in the Bible, has given us the answer to what we're supposed to put in this gap. I think it's found in Romans chapter 8, in verse 25. It says, "For those for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." So what he's saying, let's put hope. If we can put hope into this gap, in the long run, we're going to be able to be patient people. So instead of just sitting around and just hope in the sense that we hope it happens, hope as in knowing that we're all going to go to heaven. If I can live my life, and I think that's one connection, you know, I was talking earlier about all these different things and the fruit of the Spirit having a connecting factor between them. You know, if we can have that joy, live our lives with the joy knowing that we're going to go to heaven, isn't that going to make just patiently waiting, staying here on earth a whole lot easier? If we know and understand the love that God has for us, isn't that going to make patience a whole lot easier? And I think that's really important for all of us to remember. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
No, I don't know about the people that are particularly obnoxious, but they're raving against Christians and various things. So God does have a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If we didn't have a few like software or all that,
he made reference to the song, Farther Along, We'll Know All About It, and he was just saying it's something we've kind of forgotten. You know, God's got a lot of time, and it's something we've kind of, it can't just be talked about a long time ago, but it's something that's kind of gone away.
Back in the old days, I hear my grandparents talk about stuff like this, but, you know, God would have healed everything. Right. It's harder to understand what we hear, especially if you have atheists going around mocking the person of God, and all but God is only there when they're about to make the suffering.
Yeah, he was just saying, God's going to be here when the end comes, and those people who